If there are no further questions for Stephanie, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda, which is the CFO report. Julia. And this is a 20-minute item. Go ahead.
Hello. Well, I feel like a lot of what I was going to address has been addressed by Stephanie, as well as some of the comments that Ali made. So, Ali, I do appreciate that you brought that up, because they have had some good success in these past 2 days. And I don't care who you are, a $30,000 gift is phenomenal. And just even outside of that, when I checked a couple of hours ago, I knew that they were pretty close to 6,000. So I'm sure they'll be doing more, you know, than that for the day. So it's a great start. One of the things, you know, that I wanted to just touch back on, since Stephanie kind of went over some of the year-to-date April financials and the April financials, is just pointing out that of all the units, we had two units that were had an increase in revenue. Let's see, I want to make sure I'm saying this right. For year over year for April. So only two were able to do that. And I'm not sure at what point we're able to say what stations, what. So I'll leave that out unless somebody wants to know who it is, if they haven't looked. Currently, and this is an estimate, but as of today, except for one station, the cash level is $169,500. And that's an estimate, but it's a pretty good estimate. With outstanding payables of almost $623,000. So again, that cash of right at $170,000 with $623,000. Now, of course, not all of that is significantly past due, but there are some stations that do have significantly past due. And, of course, you know, the majority of that is KPFK. KPFT does have some, but across the board, I would say the longer, more past due items do apply to something that's very important. I talked to a couple of the business managers about making sure that they reach out to these vendors to set up payment plans. And that is the contracts for the music licensing, whether it's ASCAP, CMI, NFCB, making sure that we are reaching out to these vendors specifically, because I know some of them, just from my work with KPFK, they want to work with us. They're willing to work with us with a payment plan. And I think it's better to be proactive with them than to put our head in the sand and wait until it's too late and they're like, oh, you've got to send us $10,000. So hopefully they are doing that, and I have confidence that they're doing that, and we've done that with KPFK. One of the things that I thought was of note, really, because I know there's been some specific concern about KPFK, and unfortunately, you know, we were able to get a little bit of a lifeboat with a payment plan for the electricity there. But even with that lifeline, we're still going to have to be in a situation where we're in pretty much consistent fundraising until some of the changes in the programming and the pitches really kick up a notch. And so, I think that's something that I've mentioned to Stephanie and,
Tony pays today.
I'm sorry. Did somebody say something?
No, keep going.
Okay. That, you know, there are going to be certain situations where, the fund drives are going to have to be a little longer than some people are accustomed to. And while raising, for example, the $100,000, you know, they were over $100,000, for their May fund drive, you know, that's still not enough. And so if we're sticking with the quarterly cycle of these fund drives, they at a minimum have to have goals that are in excess of a quarter's worth of expenses plus enough to cover the credit card fees and the bank, you know, things like that that come out. So that's something that I'll be working with Stephanie on and making sure that the goals that we're setting are sufficient, and that if we feel that they're not achievable, then what are the next steps for that? With the national office, we still have some things that are over 90 days that we need to deal with. I'm not sure how long, some will, be willing to hold off on us. We still have about, 150,000 that's over 90 days for the national office, that we need to deal with. So, the 169,000 or 170,000 that I mentioned does not include the idle funds. That is a separate, I consider that non-operating. And so that balance is at 176,000. I know some people had some questions about that. Any questions?
Are there questions for Julia? Anyone?
Well, I guess.
James.
Go ahead, Teresa. I don't think you can say it in an open meeting, but I am kind of curious as to what bills we have let lapse, not only at the stations, but at the national office. I'd like to be told that somewhere, because, I mean, they probably wouldn't want their names mentioned on the air, because then other clients would probably not want to pay them, but I think it would be helpful for us to know what we've decided not to pay.
Well, some of it is legal, a chunk of it is legal bills. Some of it is, software related. Those are the main ones. The legal bills, even though a good portion of that was paid with the idle funds, they continue to accumulate, not necessarily at the pace they were, but I still cringe when they come in.
Is this for ongoing litigation?
Yeah.
Yep. Jim Dingman.
We still have several lawsuits out there.
Well, thank you, Julia. I know how hard it is to do this job. I'm just curious at this point, have you guys gotten into the issue of the interrelationship of the money coming into these stations interrelated to the CUM of these stations? That is the weekly CUM. Because, if the CUM was like, Los Angeles was about 60,000 to 80,000, somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. And the CUMs, that's the amount of people actually tuning in to each week to listen.
Thank you.
And so to me, this is the solution here. This sort of gets back to what Lawrence raised, the synergy of all these different kind of problems being looked at. We just have to get the CUMs up dramatically in each of these market areas in order to get more revenue. It's as simple as that. Right. And, that means a lot of hard work, a lot of hard, choices, but you know, we're way past doing that. And so it's sort of painful to listen to you do this number crunching, because I'm thinking about how we don't have to be in this state. We can turn it around if we just put our minds to what can actually work in these signal areas that creates audience. And okay. Then we wouldn't have these problems. I mean, you know, because 80% of our money comes from listener members. And that would increase and basically make it easier for us to get foundation money, because they're not going to give, the CPB is not going to give us money with those low CUMs in three
Jim,
markets.
Jim, your time
right
is up.
Now. Anyway, that's a fact. All right. Thank you.
Well, and I would just like to add, and thank you for teaching me that new term. I've been just calling it listenership or whatever, because I didn't know the actual terminology, but. I had a conversation with someone today who's in the process of the budget for 2023, and I think it's extremely critical as we go into these budget reviews for next year that, you know, balancing a budget is one thing, but understanding and having a clear narrative that explains how that revenue is being generated and drilling it down to does that, you know, average gift size that would need to be achievable, you know, per day, per month, you know, for the fund drive, does that, is that achievable given the cues, I guess, that you have? And I'm not sure that that's being done. I think it's just, oh, well, we're going to do X amount a day. Well, you've got to back that out into, well, our average gifts have been this, you know, is the amount that we're saying that we're going to put down here in our premium expense. Do we have enough? Do we have too much? You know, I'm not confident that the drill down is deep enough to make sure that those balanced budgets can be accomplished. Because I don't want to see a balanced budget that doesn't tell me exactly how many people have to donate and what that average size gift is. And does that fit with the CUME numbers? It's like, there's got to be a statistic out there for fundraising in public radio, and whether it's just ours. You know, if we go back and figure out, okay, somebody tells me what their listenership is on any given day, and we have to back into it from the past so we can use that number going forward, and how do we move that to where we can meet these revenue goals?
Thanks. Lawrence?
Okay, I think James was before me.
But he put his hand down, apparently.
Oh, no, it's still up. I see it's still up. I don't know. Maybe I'm seeing things.
I see it.
Oh,
my hand is up, but I'll wait for Lawrence to go ahead.
Thank you, James. So, Julia, I think we need to figure out how to do an analysis, with our fundraising, trends and our CUME or listenership, as you say. I think that's something that perhaps, it could be localized, to provide the CUMEs. And I think, I believe there's an entity that does provide the CUMEs. And WPFW was the only one, Abitron, right? WPFW was the only one that had a positive CUME, the last time it came out. But I'd be interested to, you know, just to fortify what, Jim Digman said. I'll be interested to you to approach, you know, Netta and yourself and those and that entity to approach, doing an analysis about, you know, the fundraising trends and the listenership and the CUME. That may be, now that I think of it, that may be, an ambitious task, but I just wanted to.
It shouldn't be that hard.
Okay.
But okay. It's something that is getting the data, which is my problem now. I probably could get it from WBAI. I feel confident from WPFW, not from the others. I'm working on it with KPFK.
Thank you, Julia. Thank you.
And between that and for the ones who use the fundraising software where I can see what's coming in each day, you know, those are spreadsheets that are easy to dump and try to do something. So it wouldn't be bad if I can just get the data. That means that sooner than later.
Yeah.
Point of information?
Teresa
for the stack.
Are you on the stack, Teresa? Okay, I got you. Jim Sagerton.
Yeah, thank you, Julie. I know you're working really hard on all of this. I wanted to ask two questions real quick. One is, was the software that you were referencing, is a large part of that the membership software?
Yes.
Thank you. No, we don't have to mention any names.
100%.
Yeah,
well, not of the over 90 days, but of the portion that I'm just saying, yes, it's the membership.
Understood. And the second thing is, you kind of hesitated to say which stations had their income coming up and their expenses going down. And I know of a particular station that gets named a lot in a bad light. And I'm just thinking we shouldn't be so shy about naming those stations that I think you indicated where their revenue was up and their expenses were down.
Okay. Yeah. Again, I still struggle to make sure that I don't take a misstep with mentioning something on my name.
I appreciate that. But, I think it's okay.
Yeah, the year-over-year increases were at the archives. As we all know, they had a an out-of-sequence fund drive in April that shot them up significantly. And, of course, there was big talk about the need to probably do that again before year-end, or at least before the Christmas, the holidays. And then the other one was WPFW.
Thank you.
Jim Dingaman.
Yeah, just to be quick. Well, this is why I've been sending requests to the stations to supply this information in line with the motion that this body passed a few weeks ago, a few months ago. And it's true that there has been a uneven response, let's put it that way, to this information. But to get this kind of information is vital for us to be able to make any judgments. And I'm talking about it has to be historical, too, because all we need is to get fragments of it, evidence that exists in the latest fundraising drives and then stuff in the past, plus the demographics of the stations, which all these stations in the past had at one point or another been Arbitron subscribers or Nielsen subscribers. So there must be lots of information. I find it hard to believe that everything has been tossed into garbage can over the past 20 years. I find that really difficult to believe.
I would agree with that. I think the person from WPFW mentioned to you in one of those billions of emails that we've seen going back and forth. He can get that for WPFW. I believe that WBAI has been sent for KPFA. I spoke with the vendor yesterday via email, and she is working with me to get a username and password for the interim GM, since we don't have it from the prior GM. But so that would be three of the stations that we would have it for. I don't know about the other, what the situation is with the others. But I could probably get it for KPFT if they have access to it.
Any other questions for Julia?
I would like to add, though,
Go ahead.
I would need to get in the middle of having to get those numbers. Other than, of course, with KPFK, because that's more of a staff change issue and helping getting access to the new person. But I agree. It seems like the other stations would cough that information up without me calling and saying, hey, you solid and give the numbers.
Teresa. Hey. Thank you, Julia.
This is for the staff.
Oh, Teresa, go ahead.
Yes. I hope that if you're not getting cooperation from anyone at any station, if you can't say it here, please call me if you're not getting information, or somehow notify people that you're not getting cooperation. Because I know it costs us money. For example, when we're having an audit and people are not turning in the information, and it's heavy on your soul when you're not getting the information. I mean, if we can't measure it from one year to the next or from one program to the next, then you can't do your job. And I don't know whether the ED needs to have sessions with these people that are not turning in information, or if you need to call it to the attention of the directors. Somehow, we need to improve this situation if we've got people who just repeatedly don't give you the information you need.
In this particular situation, I was leaving it to the person who had requested it for, I can't remember which gentleman it was. Was that Jim or Donald? Who?
It was Jim Dingaman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, he has sent multiple emails, and I was thinking that would do it. So I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I'm willing to try to get it. I know I can get it for KPFK. I don't mind reaching out to the other two. I think it just kind of floundered out there for a little while. So I have not asked. That is not something. My point was is I don't think that was something that I was thinking that I needed to ask for. I thought that, you know, the virtue of that email and what's been going on with the board committees, that information would be turned over.
Thanks.
This might have been what you're saying with the audit, or if I'm looking for information, I feel like some of that has gotten better on the financial side.
Thanks. Donald Goldmacher has a question, I presume.
You presume correctly, Madam Chair. Julia, have you had an opportunity to compare?
Can you speak up?
Yes. I can speak up. Sure. Julia, have you had a chance to compare year to dates for this current fiscal year with the last several years, including the year before the pandemic began, so that we have some understanding about the direction of membership and revenues for each of the five stations and for the network as a whole?
It has been a while since I did that. I mean, it's been several months. If my recollection is correct, the graph was like that. And it was pretty consistent across the board. But I would have to do that again. That is my memory telling me that we were trending down for the past few years, even right before the pandemic. But I would need to do that again to feel confident with the answer I gave you.
So that, if I may ask a follow-up?
Mm-hmm.
So then all of this discussion we just had here for the last X number of minutes, has that given you any cause for optimism for turning this trend around?
Well, we've talked about a lot tonight.
Yes, we have. And I'm wondering if any of it cheered you up or gave you a new direction, because I'm sitting here wondering, okay, this is a lot of happy talk. But how does this get fixed?
I think what gives me hope is a couple of things. One, while I recognize where Lawrence was coming from with his motion, I am glad that it's staying with the strategic planning committee, purely because that ball was already rolling and that plan was kind of already in place where these groups were being pulled together. And so, I think the last thing we need to do right now is get into these just scheduling meetings and doing all that again. So hopefully this planning committee can doggedly stay with this and come out of their meetings with actionable items that are assigned to either specific people or groups for action. I would say that I have some hope at one of the stations I'm working with. Just from working with a couple of the guys there, and just their attitude I think that communication is really important. I don't have a lot of communication with a couple of the places. And so I've found that I don't know if they feel this way, but I feel when I'm connected with like the, interim assistant manager or the interim general manager at KPFK. And of course I speak with the fundraising person there frequently as well, but having those three, that open communication, I think them hearing consistently from me, and I do try to share let them know when I'm excited about something, when I see something good, but making sure that they know, this is the real deal. That communication gives me hope. And I think if we had that communication across all of the unit, that would be a good thing, because I can't say that we have that necessarily across the board. And that could be that, the biggest fire gets the most attention. And so that might not be fair, but I think communication is really, really important, and the willingness of the leadership at the stations to hear what we have to say directly instead of being passed down through committee meetings. Gotcha.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Julia.
Thanks, Julia. We're at time on this, so we'll move on to thank you very much, Julia. We'll move on to the next item, which Arthur has joined us, so it's time for the legal counsel report. Arthur. You're on mute still.
Sorry. Hello. On my sixth day of quarantine, I join you. Doesn't mean I don't work. Just means I do it in a closed room. I think I've sent out a lot of stuff to try to shorten what I have to say tonight. So number one is, we got the FJC loan extended 2 years. They had mentioned originally to me that they wanted, they wanted to start a paying back principal, over the 2 years, but in their last email to me, they just said same terms, 2 years. So, that's great. And I expect the documents to come through anywhere in the next week or two. And that means nobody can say we're about to be foreclosed on until somewhere in 2024. And whoever writes that we're about to be foreclosed on a $3.2 million loan in October 2022 is, as I said in my last email, it's equivalent to saying that Donald Trump won the last election. Second, we got our response to the FCC filing to deny us a license in New York. It was filed. I sent that out to everybody. According to our FCC attorneys, who you can read what they wrote, besides the fact that there was not one shred of truth to the assertions and not one shred of proof of the assertions in that petition, all 475 pages of it, that WBAI pays kickbacks to people who supply materials that are given away as gifts when people make donations. it isn't even a proper complaint. It wasn't filed by a listener who has a problem. The fact that you're a listener, that somehow they found three or four people. Donald Goldmacher made all his calls in New York and got three or four people to sign on who said they were residents of New York. They didn't even have affidavits, stating what their particular interest or injury was, or even if they were members. so basically, we were lucky. I think the final document is about 16 pages long, plus a short affidavit from Stephanie and a short affidavit from Bertolt Reimers. And hopefully that'll be the last we heard of it. And the cost, luckily, it's still probably going to cost us between $10,000 and $15,000 for the work that was done, but it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. It may be months and months and months before we hear back from the FCC on that. And then on the Verniel case, we filed our answer and counter petition to vacate. I did explain in my email to the board. I'm not going to go through all the points. I attached a copy of it. By the way, all of this is public record, so you can give it to whoever you want. We're basically counterclaiming to dismiss or have the arbitration award vacated, except the part of it that says he was properly fired for exceeding his authority by firing staff at WBAI and taking the station local programming off the air. And, you know, that litigation is going to go on for a while. I'm taking the lead on it. I do most of the drafting, formatting stuff properly for California. I leave to local counsel. But it's pretty much my work. It just so happens that arbitration, I do 8 or 9 arbitrations a month and either file or have to deal with petitions to confirm or vacate arbitration awards seems like once a month these days. So it's really an area of my expertise as a union lawyer. And, I think we have a good argument, but it will be many months down the road. And if you read what I wrote, you will get the gist of what our position is. And finally, I don't know if you had a discussion or later, there's going to be a discussion. Oh, I guess it's really for the KPFK situation, is not for a public meeting. I won't say anything about that. So I think that's it.
Thanks. So I see a couple people on the stack already, Susan and then Egberto.
By the way, I want to say to Egberto, I used some of your stuff in my show last week. It was a great, we shared clips.
Thank you, man. Appreciate that.
Go ahead, Susan.
Congratulations, Arthur. That is a huge relief getting that extension. You say the paperwork is on its way. Will you be kind to forward us the loan agreement, the revised loan agreement when you receive it? And that one, as I understand it, will completely replace the one that has been in place. And so we can, all right, then what I'd like to do is to see the original loan agreement because I want to see the terms in the original loan agreement that still pertain. And the second question that I have is, you talk about the questions of foreclosure. I'm not sure if what you're talking about there is the alert that Alex Steinberg raised about the foreclosure provision in the FJC loan, or if you're talking about something else. Alex sent around an alarmed email, and I can forward it to you.
Today? Recently?
Yeah, to the Strategic Planning Committee.
Oh, I'm not on that.
I'll forward it on to you, but that is the conversation that I've seen around foreclosure.
Right, well, foreclosure is not an issue until 2024, which will be a long time from now. I predict, just like doomsday predictions from the last 3 years, it won't happen then either. I have to tell you, the FJC people are the nicest, least money hungry people you're ever going to want to borrow money from. They are not a bank. They're not an insurance company.
They're a foundation.
They're a foundation that exists to help foundations that need money. So they get people to donate. And apparently it's a 501c3 purpose. So they get people to donate money who get their tax deduction. And then they loan money to other foundations. Like they have a portfolio of something like $265 million, or I may be wrong, maybe even bigger. And, they loan money at fairly much lower interest rates than any institution like ours could get anywhere. And the interest that they get on it basically supports their functioning. It doesn't go into anybody's pocket. So they're extremely, extremely lovely business people to deal with and not hard. And
let me just follow up on this and say, I know you did not negotiate the original loan, so I'm so glad that you have been able to achieve that really good communication with that lender, because that relationship is terribly important. I will forward you Alex Steinberg's email, and perhaps you can give me your comments back.
Okay. The other thing is, if Susan, I can send you the document itself is about the original document. It's thicker than, if you're old enough to remember phone books, or in New York City, the phone book used to be something that was like at least 8 inches thick. It's a multi hundred page document with gobbledygook language.
I'm accustomed to reading that stuff. Go ahead and send it.
When we extended it last time, it was about 5 or 6 pages. So that I will give to the board, in the hope that it stays confidential, but I know it won't. But I'll distribute it when it happens.
Great.
Thanks, Arthur. I mean, I think one of the things that we need to remember to do if we distribute documents to the board is to make sure that, you know, if there's any information that should be redacted, like, you know, email addresses and right. whatnot, just to make sure that we don't burn right. bridges with FJC. So I see right. that Susan's saying that we're at 10 minutes on this item, which is how many minutes we had. And I still have three people in the queue, so I'll entertain a motion to extend either that or we'll just.
Chair.
Go ahead, Lawrence.
Can we extend till we exhaust the stack? I think there's three remaining hands.
There are three hands on the stack, Egberto, Donald, and Lawrence. Is there a second on the motion to extend to exhaust the stack?
Second. I second it.
Thank you. Any objections to the motion to extend to exhaust the stack? Hearing none. Egberto, go ahead.
We don't hear you, Egberto.
Can you hear me?
Loud. Yes. Make it louder.
Okay.
Very faintly.
Oh, wow. I don't know what's going on, Ben. Can you hear me any better?
Yes.
Okay, great. My concern was never FJC loan. My biggest concern was the amount of money that we owe and whether involuntarily a creditor could come at us and in the process force us into a place we don't want to be. I'm talking legally. What's the possibilities of that, and what's the best way to get out of that possibility? Thanks.
Well, I'm not sure what creditor you're talking about. I know
heard from the ED is that we owe $600,000+.
Right, and about 125 is to me. I'm not going to go sue you for anything. I actually think that most of that money is money we owe to lawyers. And also I negotiated a payment plan with Southern California Edison on a very large debt that KPFK had that stretches that debt out. So I don't think we're in any position where any creditor is going to try to force us into bankruptcy, if that's what you mean. There's no debt out there that's that large. I think the largest debts that we recently paid off when we got the IDA loan was NETA. Not even me, but, we don't have anything that's looming and that of that size that we could get forced into bankruptcy.
Thanks.
And Julia sends me, you know, can you take care of this problem? I try. And like with Southern California Edison, I made unbelievable number of complaining phone calls till I got somebody to to go beyond the computerized program that said we can only get 12 months. I got 18 months. And I'm negotiating to get the penalties. They got like there was like a $500 a month penalty going back over a year. I'm hoping to get that knocked off. So in every way I can, I try to get involved and negotiate with people.
Thanks. Donald Goldmacher, then Lawrence.
Yes, my question is very simple with regard to the FJC loan being extended. What are the interest payments on that yearly?
You know, it's, and I don't have it off the top of my head, it's a certain percent over prime. That hasn't changed, but prime has gone up a point or two. So our interest payments are going to be a bit higher than
2 points over prime.
What?
2 points over prime.
2 points over prime. So, since prime went up, I think it's gone up about a point and a half. Our interest payments will be higher. On the other hand, it's on the total debt that we owe, which when we started paying was 3.8, then it went to 3.2. Now it's 2.1. So if you have a higher interest rate, but a lower principal, the payments will actually be less. I've gone over that with Julia.
Perhaps our CFO can tell us what those yearly amounts would look like or are looking like.
Right. I will say the last interest payment was, which was in March, was, down from just over $50,000 to $38,000 because of the payments that had been made. I reached out to someone there, a lady. I don't know how I even got connected with her, but and discussed with her, you know, all of that so I could get educated, and Arthur is right. I was thinking it was plus three, but I don't have my notes in front of me. It might be plus 2% as he indicated. So we'll see that in the next, we have another payment due at the end of June, but again, it shouldn't be higher. It should probably be, it should be less than the 50,000 I think that we had budgeted for a quarter.
And I think the budget, that was the board authorized that payment to be made out of the idle money, right?
Right. So we set aside 150,000 from idle. But the first 50,000 was really 38,000 that we paid.
So by paying down the loan, we've reduced our right. quarterly costs by at least the last quarter by 12,000. It's going to go up a little bit, but probably it's still going to save us around between 35 and 40,000 a year by having paid back the We paid back
500,000 using the idle proceeds.
No, but we've paid back since in the last 18 months, we've paid back about I keep adding this up, 1.25 million of the loan from various sources. There was a besides the sale of the building in Houston and the idle money, there was also a bequest that we got of a large sum, and we negotiated with them to give them about 150,000 of, it was a WBAI bequest, and they got a portion of that. So it's fairly amazing in the midst of the, you know, the last year and a half that we have paid the loan down from 3.2 to 2.175 approximately.
Thanks. Lawrence, you're next.
Thank you, Chair. So Arthur, for lack of a better word, I just want to tell my fellow New Yorkers that the Yankees won today 2-1. And then what is our deficit? What is our deficit? What is it that we own? What's our nut to FJC? And what is the interest payments of FJC? And then I would
you
also like-
We just said that.
Okay. Well, can you repeat it for me, please?
Julius said that the last payment was 38,000.
Okay. I was focusing on you. Sorry, Albert.
And the balance right now is about 2.175.
Okay. Thank you. And in regards to, that beautiful cat Susan has. Susan, can you also email me the email that Alice sent? And I think you should probably email it to the board as well. I like to read. I know there's been some exchanges between you and Arthur that I have read, but I have not seen Alice's correspondence to you. Thank you.
Thanks. And I'm sorry, Teresa, you put your hand up, but the motion was to extend time to exhaust the stack before you were on it. So we're at the end of the legal counsel report and Q&A, and the next thing that we have on is 60 minutes worth of committee reports, people, and we have a adjourned to closed session at time certain of 11 p.m., and the reason why is because we have to adjourn the closed session by midnight, period. So we're going to have to sail through these committee reports.
Point of order.
You're missing the amendment to the agenda, which places
Thank you.
That was my point
of
order.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I apologize. I have an edit, a non-editable copy of it open in front of me, and so I didn't make the edit. So yes, you're right. We go from Arthur's report to, hang on, a 10-minute item, which is standing up the personnel, National Personnel Committee. And I don't know if a motion's been sent around to people for this that can be read.
Yes. Yes.
Go ahead, Beth, read it.
Thank you. I did send a motion out just before I joined the call at the beginning of the meeting. I'm going to try to keep this short and concise and hopefully just kind of perfunctory. We need to do this to be in compliance with our own requirements for ourselves. Whereas the Pacifica National Board has a duty to oversee personnel matters within Pacifica, therefore, be it resolved that the 2022 PNB Personnel Committee is hereby established with a mandate to conduct regular performance evaluations of the Pacifica General, the Pacifica Executive Director, and to report back to the full PNB with recommendations, if any. The Personnel Committee shall consist of the PNB Chair, Vice Chair, Secretary, and NFC Chair, one director from each Pacifica signal area, one director from the Pacifica Affiliates Network, each to be elected by the full PNB in an IRV election to be conducted by electronic email vote under the supervision of Pacifica election teller Terry Goodman and an assistant teller of his choice. Commence no sooner than Friday, June 10, because that's as soon as he's available, with polls closing at 12 midnight Pacific time at the end of Tuesday, June 14th, 2022. Nominations shall be open from tonight, June 2, 2022, until midnight Pacific time at the close of Monday, June 6th, 2022. And I did my best to try to pull up past motions and mandates and resolutions standing up other personnel committees, and this was the most concise adaptation of those previous motions that I have managed to come up with yet.
Thanks. Do we have a second for this motion?
Lauren seconds.
Thank you, Lawrence. Now we can do discussion. Sorry, Beth, that was, you jumped ahead there. Do you have anything else that you need to say to motivate the motion?
Just that we need to do that. It's in order to stay in compliance with our own regulations, we need to do this. And just as a, we owe it to the executive director. Our employees deserve to have regular evaluations. Thank you.
I see Julia's hand.
Hey, I just wanted to suggest that Cynthia be included in that. Like I'm included on many of the other committees, but I think having an HR representative there to guide as you go along might be a good idea.
So moved.
Second.
May I respond to that?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the second after.
Susan seconded.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. Yes, this is the efforts put into getting this going have only gone back about a week, and part of my intention in standing this up was to confer with Cynthia to ask for guidance in establishing a proper process, you know, a formal process, something that we could be proud of when we're done. So thank you.
Lawrence?
Yeah, I don't object to Cynthia Dobick being included. But I think it's the personnel's charge, personnel committee charge, to do a somewhat independent evaluation, if that's what we're going to do, a review, an evaluation, whatever you want to call it, according to the contract. And then also consult with Cynthia Dolbeck in regards to there may be some tools, some suggestions, some recommendation that she may want the personnel committee to utilize. So I definitely don't oppose that. But it is, I think it's a good practice. It's the best practice to have this review. It's 6 months. It's in the contract. And, so, that's why I am in support of the motion.
Thanks. Beth, is your hand up again?
It is. Just for very briefly, I thought it would only be fair to warn people that this is going to be, this evaluation is going to be quick. So it's going to be intensive work. We need to get this done by the middle of July, if I'm not mistaken. So fair warning there. Thank you.
Point of order, Madam Chair.
Yes.
Are we voting on the amendment put forward by James Sagerton, seconded by me, to add in HR? Are we still discussing the main motion?
We need to vote on the amendment. Is there any further discussion of the amendment to add Cynthia Dolbeck?
James, with a question of a point of information.
Go ahead.
It's just an inquiry, actually, to inquire as to whether what Julia said, which I was offering as a motion, included having Cynthia as a voting member or just as in attendance as an advisor.
In attendance as an advisor.
That's what I thought. Thank you.
Any other further discussion on the amendment?
Just that we get that language in it.
Any objections to the amendment? Hearing none, the amendment passes. Any further discussion on the motion as amended? Hearing none, we'll move to a vote on, or are there any objections to the motion as amended?
Okay, I have a request for information.
Go ahead, Lawrence.
Are we going to start taking names tonight? Because I think the motion does mention that we should start taking nominations tonight. We are on a crunch.
Yes, we will be on a quick time clock here to do this. So yes, I believe, Beth, it's anticipated that names would people would be nominated via email.
Yes, and not having handled this particular part of that process before, shall we submit them to Terry or? Who are the how about the Secretary of the Board? Because that's a reliable. I suggest we submit any nominations to the Secretary of the Board, to Paulina.
Agreed.
Sure. Agreed? Okay.
Yes. Everybody clear on that? In fact, we ought to make that clear in the motion just in case, I move to amend the motion to add that nomination, let me find the exact spot. Nominations shall be open from tonight till midnight at the close of Monday, June 6th, and just add to the end of that sentence before the period via email to the PNB secretary.
To secretary at pacifica.org, please, the email.
Yes, yeah. Secretary@pacifica.org.
Thank you.
I second your amendment, Chair.
Any discussion of the amendment? Any objections to the amendment?
I would like to say before it's all over, before we vote again, I'd like the whole thing read to me so I know what we're talking about.
Actually, that last sentence, nominations shall be open from tonight until midnight Pacific time. Let's see, close of Monday, June 6th, to be submitted to secretary@pacifica.org. Is that correct?
Correct.
Gotcha.
Point of information?
Yes, Teresa.
So we're taking nominations tonight, but because we're taking nominations up until midnight, are we going to offer people an opportunity to speak to whether they're qualified for this?
I think the implicit assumption is if you've been elected as a director to the PMP.
But we have competition.
I'm sorry, folks. Here's the thing. We're trying to do this fast. Right. Also, we're at time. Well, Beth, you speak to the process as to whether we need to have another meeting to hear from the candidates.
I don't remember doing that with, if we had stood this up at the beginning of the year with all the other committees, I don't think that was part of the process then, at least for most of the committees, because we would have been meeting for a week straight to get through all of those. I think that the process, I think the process is to nominate by email, and it's open from now, from tonight, through Monday, June 6th. So through midnight Pacific time on Monday night in the 6th. That gives people time to talk and decide what they want to do. I'll get this, the amendments down and clear it with Marianne Adain, and then send the adopted motion to the entire PNB so that you can see how it reads, and you'll have the requirements in front of you if you want to volunteer or nominate yourself or someone else.
So I think Teresa.
I think that covers it.
Yeah, but except that Teresa, excuse me, Beth. I think the point is that Teresa asked to have the whole motion before she votes on it this evening. So I'm going to read what I think is the whole motion. Hang on one second. I have to switch screens. Whereas the Pacifica National Board has a duty to oversee personnel matters within Pacifica, therefore be it resolved that the 2022 PMB Personnel Committee is hereby established with the mandate to conduct regular performance evaluations of the Pacifica Executive Director and to report back to the full PMB with recommendations, if any. The Personnel Committee shall consist of the PMB Chair, Vice Chair, Secretary, and NFC Chair, one director from each Pacifica Signal area, one director from the Pacifica Affiliates Network, each to be elected by the full PMB in an IRV election to be conducted by electronic email vote under the supervision of Pacific election teller Terry Goodman, an assistant teller of his choice, to commence no sooner than Friday, June 10th, 2022, with polls closing at midnight Pacific time at the end of Tuesday, June 14th, 2022. The NETA HR person shall also be a part of a non-voting member of the committee. Nominations shall be open from tonight, June 2nd, 2022, until midnight. I threw that in there in the middle. I'm sorry. Until midnight Pacific time at the close of Monday, June 6th, 2022, via email to secretary@pacifica.org. That's the whole motion.
Thank you.
Are there any objections to the motion? Hearing none, the motion passes. Plus, we were at time, I believe. So that puts us now on to the 1 hour slot of committee reports. The audit committee is a 3-minute report. Is there anyone prepared to give a quick report on the audit committee? I'm not hearing anyone, so we'll move on to the coordinating committee, which is also a 3-minute report. We met on, I think it was, May 26th, Thursday, a week ago, we developed the agenda for this meeting. there's nothing further to report from the coordinating committee, I don't believe. We're up to finance committee. That's a 10-minute item. Jim Sagerton, go ahead.
Yeah, the finance committee has a motion, although I have to point out that, once again, we don't seem to have the appropriate budget attached to the agenda, even though it was discussed in the coordinating committee, and I believe it was sent. So I had asked Paulina in an email to send that around to everyone. Were you able to do that, Paulina?
Yes, I was. I didn't see the budget. I looked for it, but I couldn't find it at the time when I sent out the agenda. So I thought that it was more important to send out the agenda promptly. And then,
no worry.
Yeah, so everybody should have received that, although I don't know whether with sufficient enough time to look at it.
Understood. Thank you very, very much. I appreciate that. Just so everybody knows, there are members from the finance committee, one from each station, have had that for weeks. So hopefully they're sharing that among their LSPs. I know that's what happens at WBAI, so I hope that happens elsewhere. So the motion is the NFC recommends to the PNB that it approve the Pacifica Radio Archives fiscal year 22 budget with the note that it's a balanced budget with a negative cash flow because some units are not paying central services fees. That's the motion. And so we would rewrite that to say that the PNB approves the Pacifica Radio Archives fiscal year 22 budget, et cetera.
Is there any discussion of the motion from the NFC?
I would just add that I believe this was passed unanimously, but there might have been one abstention I don't recall.
Thanks. Any other discussion? Any objections to the motion from the NFC? Hearing none, the motion passes. The PRA budget is approved.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anything else from the NFC, Jim?
No. Well, no. In the interest of time, no.
Thank you. Next up is the governance committee. We had that as a 3-minute item. Is there any report from anyone on the governance committee? All right.
Yes, Chair, I'm sorry, this is Charles, trying to unmute. So the governance committee met yesterday. We made a few decisions. We're having elections for chair, to electronic mail, and that should be done before our next meeting. We also discussed non-disclosure agreements, an opportunity to also put together a lot of mandatory Department of Labor and also government requirements for training. We're looking at resources that we could leverage that will be the low cost or donated to do ethics criteria. Also, equity, diversity, and inclusion, anti-bullying, sexual harassment training, and all of that is an ambitious, undertaking, but so that's, some of what we discussed. And we also decided to have our meetings on Zoom. So we'll be, convening our next meeting on, June 22nd, on Zoom at 5:30 Pacific time, 7:30 Central, and 8:30 Eastern. And that's the extent of my report. And I'm the chair pro tem.
Thanks, Lawrence. Any questions for Lawrence? Moving along, we're at the elections committee, which we have as a 20-minute item because I understood that there would be motions forthcoming. I don't know if they've been shared with everybody. Is someone ready to report on the elections committee?
This is Teresa.
I sent
one motion, which was passed back, I think, on April 5th. And I don't know whether our interim secretary ever sent it. And it just didn't get on the agenda of the national board or what happened. but I've sent it to the entire board, including the two secretaries.